All right, it is noon Eastern time. It is 9 a.m. in Vancouver. God, that's early. It's 10 a.m. in Calgary. And wherever you are in the Sportsnet radio network or online, it is opening day. It is Blue Jays against the Yankees, Cole versus Ryu, Vladdy Bo and Cavan against the world. It is 7 degrees Celsius with a 30% chance of drizzle in the Bronx. And this is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. And Barks, well, happy New Year, my friend.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me. And this should be a good year for the Blue Jays.
Opening day, 2000.
Yeah.
April 3rd.
That's it.
Kevin Barker, young Kevin Barker.
That's it.
Is hitting sixth, starting at first base for the Milwaukee Brewers against the Cincinnati Reds. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, okay, it's Ken Griffey Jr. just gotten from Seattle to the Reds. He's in center field. Barry Larkin's at short. Don't want to hit it around him. You know, I was a left-handed hitter. A lot of the times I'm not trying to go to left. Something you didn't know, Dante Bichette was playing right field.
Did not know that.
For the Cincinnati Reds.
There you go.
Threw me out trying to go first to third at third base. How about that? Yeah, I didn't know I cut the angles then. I wasn't a good base runner. I was 24. I was learning. Jeremy Burnett's. The only reason I remember that is Jeremy Burnett's, after I got thrown out, yelled at me. What are you doing? Threw his hands up. You know, I'd put my head down, just walk by him because he's a veteran guy. He's a little intimidating. But I will say I was a part of history. We finished that game. Opening
right.
day, we were one of only two games,
yeah,
to end in an official tie. 3-3, sixth inning, one out, raining, pouring rain, take us off the field. We wait 3 hours. An official tie. So basically what that means was every stat up to that point counted. I was 1-for-2. Base hit, line driver, left fielder. I'll take it. Don't hit it on the ground. Barry Larkin's over there. I'll take that. That's one of the coolest things. I guess the only one I ever had was opening day. And I was a part of history. The other one, this was one, April 12th, 1965. That was the Cardinals versus the Cubs. Wonder why they postponed it. No lights in Chicago. It got dark. It's over. So that was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that game, 65. I remember that game.
Yeah, you probably covered it. So it was a pretty cool thing that I was a part of a little bit of history. Dante Bichette, we had him on the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did have a little bit of a good arm. I think it was more bad base running than it was him throwing a strike to third.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I got a hit. I got to see Ken Griffey Jr. live. Barry Larkin's one of the best shortstops I've ever seen. And Dante Bichette.
When you were at first base, did anybody talk to you? Like, was there a conversation you remember at first base? Guys getting first base,
no,
they talk all
death.
The time.
It's my first opening day. I was just trying to not embarrass myself. You know, pop up, you take it, I got it. And normally, you know, Fernando Vena threw me on the bus. And those crazy ones that the wind would blow all over the place, he'd look at me. And then he just turned around and walked off. So what are you supposed to do when the ball goes up? You're not catching it? Somebody's got to catch it. So, you know, it was normally me trying to run in circles and catch pop-ups at the big league level. So I was a part of history. I got a hit, you know, and I saw some of the greatest players in the history
That's
of baseball
cool.
on the same field. And, oh, by the way, Aaron Boone hit seventh and played third base for the Reds. So that's a little bit, you know, Aaron Boone's the manager of the Yankees.
Opening day in Cincinnati was a big thing. It used to be the first game of the year, always started in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They used to have a parade through downtown Cincinnati. I don't know if they still do, but I remember because I used to listen to the game. I used to be able to get the game on the radio and listen to Marty Brenham and them, but they used to start that intentionally start the game in Cincinnati earlier than at any other game. It was like, because the Reds had been around for forever, but that's a great story.
I can just remember when I first stepped in the batter's box, I didn't even look at the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I looked directly over the pitcher's head and could see King Griffey Jr. He didn't even move. Like, he basically said, I have no idea who you are. We're not shifting.
He wasn't
I'm
looking.
Not going.
He didn't pull out a little index card out of his hip pocket.
It wasn't even like he was looking at me.
I got to move over 10 steps to the left over near the hot dog sign.
I will say one of the coolest hits I ever got, third game of that series.
Yep.
I hit a home run left center, and King Griffey Jr. sort of did that little run up the wall and try mm-hmm. to rob it. Obviously, it was, you know, it was a bomb. Big, strong guy like myself. You know, I'm not going to hit any wall scrapers. It was a okay shot, but he gave me that courtesy run up the wall trying. So, yeah, it was a pretty cool. You know, went downhill from there.
Well, that's all right.
You know, I was in AAA a month,
dude, at least,
month into the season, but other than that, it was pretty
awesome.
Dude,
at least you got on the hill to go downhill. That's the best way to look at it.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
First pitch is at 108 today. We mentioned Gerrit Cole against Hyunjin Ryu. This is the starting lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays. Marcus Semien leading off and playing second. Keep in mind that George Springer is on the IL. Kevin Biggio is batting second. He is at third. Bo Bichette's at short. Spit it out, Jeff. That's a tough one. Teoscar Hernandez is in right field. Vladdy's at first. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is in left. Rowdy Tellez is DHing. Randall Grichuk at center. Danny Jansen behind the plate. And Hyunjin Ryu on the mound for the Yankees, who will not have Aroldis Chapman, their closer, for the first two games of the series because of a suspension. That is something to keep an eye on because they also are without Zach Britton and Justin Wilson, all of whom are hurt, or both of whom are hurt. So we'll be joined by Ken Singleton of the Yes Network in a few minutes. We'll talk to Kenny about how Aaron Boone will manage around that. But the Yankees lineup is DJ LeMahieu at second base, Aaron Judge in right field, and it just skipped by me. Here we go. Aaron Judge in right field, Aaron Hicks in center, Giancarlo Stanton at DH, Gleyber Torres at short, Gio Urshela at third base, Gary Sanchez behind the plate, Jay Bruce at first base, Clint Frazier in left field, and as we mentioned, Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees. And there you go.
Yeah, well, I have to say that lineup, you know, until you get to the bottom of it, Clint Frazier, do we really know what he is? The Blue Jays lineup, I like it. I like Marcus Semien leading off, especially today. When you watch him in spring training, it's easy. It's simple. He sets it with his hands. There's not a whole lot of hand movement. He lifts his leg. He puts it straight down. He attacks the baseball. He's good at hitting the heater.
What's he going to get from Gerrit Cole?
You would
pitch?
Certainly think, well, he throws strike one in his career 64% of the time. The slider, the curveball, you're hitting about $170 and $130 off both those pitches. If you're a hitter, and I'm going driving to the field, and I'm looking at those stats, and I'm going 64% of the time he's throwing strike one. First pitch he throws, last pitch he throws, about 97. Why would you go up looking for anything other than something that's straight and hard? Now, if you're Kevin Biggio, who he loves to throw four-seamer with that spin, you know, he has tremendous spin rate. And Kevin's had a little trouble laying off that thing. So if he can lay off that, get the ball down, because he's got a natural little uppercut in his swing. I like the lineup. You know, they're going to attack. They're going to use their little two-strike approach they got. They got to put balls in play.
This is going to be a really intriguing test for Kevin Biggio right out of the gate and his new approach.
Tell you where you're at. It'll really tell you where you're at. If you're late, you're going to know it, and you're going to know why you're late, which is what you want. You want to be able to make adjustments to the big league level quick. One pitch after the other, right? I did it wrong the first pitch. Now I know why I did it, because it's got those hard. And I know that I have to lay off the spinner. He's going to back foot that slider. He's going to throw it down and away to a right-hander. He's going to throw the big lefty curveball to Rowdy Tellez and Kevin Biggio. Have that good approach. Go up looking for something that you like to swing at that's hard. Let it eat.
The roster deadline is noon, and teams are setting their rosters for opening day. The Jays did make some moves. We talked about all these moves, but the moves are now official. They have selected the contracts of Tim Mazza and Joe Panik, the Major League roster. They've recalled Joel Pamps from the alternate site. They've optioned Travis Bergen and Anthony Kay to the alternate site. And Charlie Montoyo, Kevin, was very clear. Anthony Kay is the first starter in the minors right now. He's the first starter they're going to call up in the event that they need a starter. They didn't want to bring him to New York and have him roll around in the bullpen. He's not going to start here. He's not going to start in Texas. So you leave him down at the alternate site in Florida. Weather's nice. Let him get stretched out. I honestly think, for me, it's a good sign that they're leaving him down there, because I want Anthony Kay to start. I don't want him to be the swing guy. I can find another arm to be the swing guy. I love that arm. I love the approach. I want him to start. Keaton down at the alternate site. When you're ready to need another starter, boom, bring him up. We mentioned that placed on the 10-day IL, this is retroactive to March 29th, Thomas Hatch with the right elbow impingement. Nate Pearson with the right adductor strain. No idea when Nate's going to start throwing from the mound.
Nope.
Robbie Ray, left elbow contusion. George Springer, we talked about this left oblique strain. And Kirby Yates, right elbow surgery. He is done for the year. Reese McGuire, Breivik Valera, both designated for assignment. If Reese McGuire clears waivers, he will rejoin the Jays. Riley Adams, who is a guy who's been kind of under the radar.
Yep.
As far as the Blue Jays are concerned, he's on the taxi squad right now. Juan Graterol, a catcher they got from the Angels, Dodgers, brain cramp, picked him up yesterday.
Yeah.
He is at the team's alternate site. But the understanding is he's going to be that kind of veteran. He's going to be that veteran guy in the taxi squad.
Yeah, Riley Adams supposedly has the most power of anybody in their organization. It's, you know, the wide stance, the framing, you know, a thrower, you don't really know what he is there. Do you even have to throw now? It's more about the framing. It's more about, you know, the game planning, getting a certain pitcher through certain games. You know, if one of your big catchers go down, do you feel comfortable having him play twice a week? I think the pitchers that they do have are comfortable with the guy catching that's been catching. I'm not real sure that that's something they want to attack, but I would think it would be more of, if that ever does happen, you would make adjustments. And
yeah, Riley Adams is going to be the starting catcher at AAA. I mean, that's the plan for him eventually. So, but he's another guy who I don't know if you can say that you play your way onto the taxi squad necessarily in spring training, but he's a guy the organization has liked. He is a big kid, big man, and he does hit the ball a ton.
He's on the 40-man, and I don't think they like Reese McGuire. I really do just think that's basically it comes down to, and they don't really have another option.
No, that's right. Boy, it's a real treat to bring in our next guest. I've said that as much as I think I know about baseball, 85% of it comes from spending time around this guy. When I covered the Expos, it comes from spending time around him since then as well. He's Ken Singleton, a longtime Yankees analyst with the Yes Network. Ken, thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if you want to take credit for that or not, but feel free to take credit for that.
Take it.
Kevin, we've known each other a long time, Jeff, and it's always been a pleasure to talk to you. Way back, that's a long time ago.
That is a long time ago. How are you doing? How are you doing, first of all? You're doing well? You're keeping well?
Yeah, I'm down here in Florida still. I don't do as many games as I used to. You know, this definitely is going to be my final year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of my first series isn't until May when the Yankees come to Baltimore. And so I'm going to remain here in Florida for a few more weeks. Of course, in this day and age, unlike when we first started, Jeff, you can watch any game anytime, anywhere. So I can still keep up with the Yankees down here in Florida. And, I think it's going to be a very interesting year. I heard you guys talking about the Jays. I think I told you guys last year, I like the Jays. I think they're an up-and-coming team. They proved it by making the playoffs. And I think they're going to be the Yankees' biggest competitor in the Eastern Division this year. The Jays are still a young, formidable team, and moving on up, although they're dealing with a lot of injuries right now. That seemed to be a Yankee staple the last couple of years, the injury problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, before we jump into both teams, I want to ask you about openers, opening day. You were in, I think, 14. I know you played 15 seasons, but your first one, I don't think you made the opening day roster. Correct me if I'm wrong, but at least 14. You were in a lot of them. Is there one that stands out to you that you just were, you know, maybe it was a pitcher that you were facing, maybe it was a hit that you got. Is there one that really stands out to you?
I kept bringing this up, and you're right. I did get called up for my first year, so I didn't make the opening day roster. 1981 in Baltimore, opening day. It was a beautiful day. We're playing Kansas City, and Larry Gurr is on the mound. First inning, he falls behind me, 2 balls and no strikes. My first swing of the season was a home run.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking, man, maybe I'll get off to a good start this year. Unlike many Aprils where it was cold and rainy and a lot of rain out, and I was a warm weather player. When May started rolling around, that's when I got hot. But that particular year, I thought it was going to be and I was right. I hit .472 in April. With 7 home runs, and I was off to a great start, leading the league in hitting. I think I was player of the month in the American League in April, and eventually the strike hit, and it kind of ruined the whole season.
Okay, that's really good. Do you think it's luck when you say your spring trainings are warm, then you're going to cold weather places most of the time. You know, it's like the Blue Jays and the Yankees. It's going to be cold today, 45 and 30% chance of drizzle. Is it luck to get off to good starts when it's this cold?
No, Yeah, you know, even though I grew up in New York and I remember playing baseball in the snow in high school, I didn't like playing in cold weather. And I think it was because as you become a professional, you get spoiled going down to Florida or Arizona and training in great weather. And then all of a sudden you got to come north and play. It just wasn't my cup of tea. Although, you know, just a couple of days ago in New York, it was 70 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, but today it's not. It's April. That's what you get in April. You get some good days during the week, and you can get somewhere you're not going to play at all. It looks like they're going to play today, but you're going to have to deal with 40-degree weather. I've had opening days in Detroit and Milwaukee where I was wondering, why are we even here? And we played, and it was like 33 degrees. And the Brewers just hammered us in Milwaukee. I think they scored 44 runs in three games. And we were just awful. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it got snowed out opening day. Huh. And I can recall we got snowed out. We went to watch the Bucks play the San Antonio Spurs that night. And Ice Irvin scored 47 points for San Antonio. And I think Brian Winter scored like 38 for the Bucks. It was a great game. But, you know, the next day we're playing baseball, but it was still cold outside.
Kenny, shifting focus to this year's edition of the Yankees. Look, I don't know if there's an easier team to analyze in baseball, because to me, if they're healthy, they win the East. I mean, I'm Captain Obvious there. But if they're healthy, they're going to be awfully hard to beat. Is it that simple, or are there some things we are maybe overlooking?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever that simple. It kind of looks that way on paper, Jeff. But the fact is, you're right. They got to remain healthy. They got to keep Judge and Stanton on the field. Both of them got through spring training very well. Stanton had a very good spring. Hit the ball very hard. Hit over 300 in spring training. I think he hit one, maybe two home runs. They were worried that Judge hadn't hit a home run in spring training. He finally hit one last week. And not only did he hit one, he hit it completely out of Bankcare Ballpark. In Clearwater, and it's like he was telling everybody, I'm okay, don't worry about it. And I just think that with the rest of the team that they have, the only really question mark might be their starting pitching after Gerrit Cole. I mean, Kluber hasn't pitched much the last couple of years, but he looked good in spring training. Taillon is coming off his second Tommy John, but he too looked very good in spring training. Domingo Herman's coming back from suspension. He didn't give up a run until the last outing in spring training. So those guys have looked pretty good. Jordan Montgomery had a good spring, the only left-handed in rotation. They've been hurt. They've got a couple of injuries to deal with right away. Zach Britton's going to be out maybe till June. He had the elbow surgery, took out a bone chip. And Luke Voit had a meniscus tear, and they fixed that. He's going to miss about 4 weeks. So they've got a couple of guys out that are really big parts of the team, but the rest of the guys, they had a very good spring. They look good in spring training.
Okay, you mentioned Gerrit Cole. Last year he made 12 starts. He threw 73 innings. I heard him not too long ago on a Zoom say that I'm pitching 200 innings plus. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, how can you talk like that and you're not hearing any other pitchers talk like that? Can you answer that question for me?
Well, I think, number one, he feels like he's the number one pitcher. And I'll give him that. We all know he's the number one pitcher. Those guys usually come with a lot of confidence. So I would say that, the pitching this year, you're going to have to watch these pitchers pretty closely. Now, I do know the Yankees have a five-man rotation, but they're going to skip Taillon at least one start and let Cole go on regular rest. So Taillon is going to pitch like the sixth game of the year, if they don't get any rainouts or anything like that. So I think that Gerrit Cole feels like he can't get 200 innings in. I know they're going to watch all of these pitchers very closely and try and give them extra time if they can. It's going to be – every team is going to use 7 to 9 starters, maybe even 10 on some teams. Mm-hmm. So for him to say that, I like the way he feels that way, but – I'm not so sure it's going to happen.
In conversation with Ken Singleton on Baseball Central, Gary Sanchez, from a distance, always appear. Every time I read a dispatch from New York in spring training, there always seemed to be something about Clint Frazier or Gary Sanchez. What, Kenny, look, I think we kind of know what Gary Sanchez is now. And my question to you is, I mean, does he have a future with the Yankees?
In the immediate future, yes, because they're not giving up on a 28-year-old guy. He has had sort of like an up and down spring training. He got out very hot. I think his 10 or 12 at-bats, he had 3 home runs, including one over the batter's eye at Steinbrenner Field. But the last 2 weeks, I think he had like 30 at-bats and struck out 16 times. So, you know, now he's going to be in the bat, Gary, and the fans are starting to get on his case again. A lot depends on, you know, how well he actually receives the ball, because we know he can have problems doing that as well. So he's in the lineup. They're not going to give up on him. He's catching Garrett Cole, although last year Cole had much more success with Higashioka, Kyle Higashioka, behind the plate. So I don't know where this is going to play out during the course of the long season, but Gary Sanchez right now, coming out of spring training, was pretty cold. I think he was like 1 or 2 for his last 30. And he wasn't looking good at the plate. I did the game the other day on Monday, and he played, and I think he struck out twice in that game. So I don't know where he's going with this. As far as Clint Frazier, he's looked pretty good this spring. He's going to start in left field. He's going to be the Yankee left fielder. Brett Gardner is more or less the fourth outfielder now.
Okay, with the suspension of Chapman the first 2 games, the Yankees have the 1-run lead in the 9th inning. Who's Aaron Boone give the ball to?
I would say Chad Green. That was my pick the other day, and I'm going to stay with it. It might depend on matchups, you know, who the Blue Jays have coming to the plate in the 9th inning. But to me, Chad Green's able to get right-handers in, left-handers out when he's on. He's got a good fastball. He worked on his breaking ball this spring, and it looked pretty good. This is his 5th year with the Yankees, so they know what he's all about. Kid throws hard. I think, to me, he's the choice. And if you haven't seen him by the 7th inning and the Yankees have the lead, then you know where they're going. They're going with him.
Kenny, really good of you to do this, man. Great to hear your voice again, always. I'm glad that you're keeping well, and we shall chat again, my friend. Have a great year.
Yeah, be safe.
You and Kevin, be safe, too, and enjoy it, and hopefully we get back to normal and we can do things the way we normally do it down the road.
That would be
Let's
lovely.
Hope so.
That would be lovely. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That's Ken Singleton. The great Ken Singleton. As I said, man, covering the Expos, traveling with Ken Singleton and Dave Van Horn, it was
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's funny to listen to baseball players talk about cold weather.
Yeah.
They're with all of the analytics and all the smart people in baseball, nobody's figured out how to hit in the cold weather.
True.
There is no – they've come up with these big, thick batting gloves now. That doesn't help. You hit a ball off the end of your bat. It's such an uncomfortable way of walking to the plate and knowing that Garrett Cole is so good, and now he has drizzle and 40-degree weather on his side.
We're about, what, Jeff, 35? We're about 40 minutes away from first pitch, maybe more than that, 40, 45 minutes away from first pitch in the Bronx. Some big baseball news made last night in New York had nothing to do with the Yankees. And I haven't seen the back pages of the New York papers today, but my guess is the Mets may have won the battle of the back pages. We'll talk about that. We have our first COVID cancellation, and we'll take a deeper dive into what Hyunjin Ryu has to do to be successful against this lineup. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. MLB opening day, and it's your last chance to win one of our 6 Blue Jays prize packs. The 2 grand prize packs each have a new blue George Springer jersey and a new blue hat, while the other 4 packs each include a hat and a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. bobblehead. So, right now, you can text Hernandez to 590-590 for your chance to win. For more information, go to sportsnet.ca/590. Also, don't forget to download the MLB Ballpark app to play games and stay in touch with the team. The opening day game between the Blue Jays and Yankees is on right after Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So, breaking news just before we came on air, The game between the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals has been canceled due to a positive COVID test and COVID tracing on the part of the Washington Nationals. The teams have an open day tomorrow, as do the Yankees and the Blue Jays. It's baked into the schedule in case of weather. But, Kevin, it appears as if Major League Baseball is just going to give the teams the first 2 days off. They'll start the series on Saturday. And, you know, hopefully the extra day will give them a chance to maybe do a little more contact tracing. Yep. You know, look, this is, man, Major League Baseball got through spring training pretty much unscathed. The numbers were really good. The intake numbers were really good.
Yep.
But this is, I think, just a reminder that even though we are playing 162 games, and even though Major League Baseball has now put protocols in place for teams that have a certain number of players vaccinated, you know, the virus is still going to be the virus. And it's a story that is still going to need to be monitored, even as we welcome fans back into the stands. There's going to be 10,000 people in the stands at Yankee Stadium today. Yeah. When the Jays go to Texas next week, there could be 40, 50,000 people in the stands. Cool. Texas is an open state. Tickets are for sale. So just a reminder of where we are. That's the one. And the other news last night, and this is what I said, probably pushed the Yankees off the back pages of the New York papers. Francisco Lindor and the Mets have agreed to a 10-year extension. This is to a variety due to a variety of sources or from a variety of sources. A 10-year, $341 million extension. And that is $1 million more, I do believe, than Fernando Tatis Jr.'s contract. Mm. We talked about this yesterday. The initial ask was something like, was it $368 million from Lindor? It was
$380 something,
right. And, you know, clearly the sides moved a little bit here. Francisco Lindor had said to the Mets, hey, I want to get a deal done before opening day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good free agent shortstops on the market.
Ton
this year.
Yeah.
Look, not everybody's Francisco Lindor, just as not everybody is Fernando Tatis Jr., but there are a ton of shortstops around baseball. Hello, Bo Bichette, that are sitting there thinking, you know, if I get my ass in gear and have a pretty good 162 game season or a pretty good season the next 2 years, there's some money to be made out there. This is the new glamour position.
It is.
It's a new glamour position, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the face of your franchise. That's the guy, right? It's the guy that everybody wants to look to. Mm-hmm. It's like Bo, right?
You look around baseball.
The first time a fan looks on the field, the first person they see is Bo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be. If you're Lindor and you had the conversation with Steve Cohen and then you're going, it gets out that it was 380 and he offered you 320 something and you go home and go, let's think about this for a second. This ain't the AL Central. This is the NL East. What if I don't sign this and I have a bad year, which I could? Look at all the pitching. Atlanta, Miami, Philadelphia's pretty good. Washington, the big three Washington has. Look, you could have a bad year. And if he had a bad year, he ain't getting 300. So to say that it was a big deal for him to go home and I think that was a little bit for show. You know, you offer 320, I offer this, we meet in the middle. Okay, that's sort of what they did.
It's like there's kind of a performative aspect to it. And I'm sure the Players Association wanted, they don't want their players to take the first offer that a team makes. A little bit of give and take there. But the reason that I find this contract so interesting is, of course, we know that the Toronto Blue Jays were reported to be in discussions to acquire Francisco Lindor. So Blue Jays fans, that's what it would have cost to keep Francisco Lindor with the Blue Jays. $341 million. If you factor in that it might take more to keep a guy in Canada, because we always talk about there's a premium to signing a free agent contract in Canada, let's saw it off and say you're probably looking at $360 million.
Yeah.
To get Francisco Lindor to commit
Trevor
to
Trevor Story would
Toronto.
Look good in the Blue Jays uniform.
See, this is my point exactly. I love Francisco Lindor. I truly do. But you know what? Let me see Corey Seager. Let me see Javier Baez. Let me see Trevor Story.
Yeah.
Because now a team that really needed a shortstop is off the market. So as much as it would have been great to have Francisco Lindor in a Blue Jays uniform, I'm kind of happy where they are.
Yeah,
right
and the
now.
Carlos Correa thing would make you think, could you have two guys from the Astros that went through what they went through with the bang of the trash can? I don't know how that would go over.
I don't know if it would be that big a deal. I don't know if it would be that big a deal because I think what we're going to see here from George Springer, you know, the way he's answered his question, the way he's handled his media availability and all that. Now, he's lucky because there aren't as much media around the team as there used to be. So he's not going to have to answer the question about the trash can bang in every city he goes to. But I really think that if he does, or if he is the way he appears to be, and if he has a good year, I think by that point, you're 2 years removed from the trash can banging thing. Guys have been suspended. You know, the manager's been suspended. He's back in the game. Alex Cora's been suspended. He's back in the game. I think that this is sort of the last gasp of all that. And if Carlos Correa is a free agent, I got to have the discussion. Now where it gets interesting.
Okay, if George Springer comes here and struggles.
Well, yeah.
How about that?
It's, yeah.
People are going to say, hey, you benefited from
something. But I mean, that'll
be a conversation.
I don't want to have that conversation on opening day. But,
of course not.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're asking me now, look at those shortstops. Who would you go after? I would probably go for Trevor Story over any of them. You know, now that Lindor is off the table.
Javi Baez, I think, too, wouldn't cost you $300. It might be somewhere in the range of close to around $200. And me, just me personally, this is my thoughts. I don't think the everyday shortstop is on the Blue Jays team yet. That's just
Well, you've said that you think that ultimately Bo is going to be at second base.
That's got nothing to do with Bo.
I agree with you.
Bo is will still be the face of the franchise.
Well, listen, there is a reason that 2 years in a row, the Blue Jays have at least kicked tires on shortstops. And they did the year before last as well.
Sure.
And they've kept Bo informed about it. And nobody said to Bo, hey, you're ultimately moving off.
Yeah.
But for two off seasons now, the Blue Jays, and it's pretty much known that the Jays and Bo have enough of a relationship that if they bring in a Lindor or somebody, maybe Bo would be willing to move to second base. Now, if Bo has a great year this year, maybe it changes.
Defensively.
But that suggests to me that you're right, that this organization, it's not that they're in a hurry to move Bo Bichette to second base, but that this organization thinks when they're ready to win, somebody else is at short and Bo Bichette is at second base.
Might be beneficial and cheaper for the organization to go out and spend it on a plus defender at shortstop than trying to get two or three plus arms to get you through that. You know, finding guys who can strike people out for five innings, hard to find. But finding a plus defender at shortstop when all you have to do is basically write a check may be a little easier.
108 first pitch in the Bronx. It is Hyunjin Ryu against Garrett Cole. Let's talk about Mr. Ryu, what the Yankees will try to do against him and what he in turn will try to do against a really powerful Yankees lineup. This is Baseball Central. It's opening day on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So this will be Hyunjin Ryu's third career opening day start. It'll be his second as a Blue Jay. Of course, did so last season and also in 2019 with the Dodgers. Kevin Barker, we talked about what the Jays may want to do against Garrett Cole. Hyunjin Ryu, who finished, third? What is he? He was in Cy Young voting last year.
Yep.
You know, he's not Garrett Cole.
Nope.
He doesn't have the power that Garrett Cole has, but he's been an effective pitcher throughout his career.
Master I mentioned soft contact.
Exactly. Third in the Cy Young voting last year. He's fourth in the AL with the 2.69 ERA. So two questions for you. The big right-hand hitting lineup the Yankees are going to run out there. One, what does Hyunjin Ryu have to do to navigate his way through this lineup? And two, what do you think the Yankees are talking about when they go up to the plate?
Okay, the very first one, and I've done this on Instagram, so you can see what I'm talking about here. The black on the plate inside to the right-handed batter, he has to locate that. Can't be missing in on the plate. If he misses on the plate, it's 90. They're going to hammer that. He misses in off the plate. Good hitters, good right-handed hitters, going to take that. He's going to fall behind. They're going to dive out over the plate. They're going to look for something they can get their arms extended on. So he has to locate that, establish that. What you do as a pitcher when you do that, you get that ball going. Mechanically for a hitter, it's almost impossible for a guy, especially the weather now, to consistently, mechanically stay within the inside the baseball and have that barrel length throughout. Occasionally you can do it. Sometimes, a lot of times, you have to open the front hip, basically step in the bucket to clear the hips to get the barrel of the baseball. And that's why he'll go with the changeup down on the way with some sink, the backdoor cutter, the little slow breaking ball. What the Yankees have to do? Exactly opposite of what I just said. If I'm a Yankees right-handed hitter, I'm giving him the ball in until two strikes. Anything that starts in, I'm going to draw an imaginary line every time I walk to the plate if I'm a right-handed hitter, and I'm going to say from inner third all the way in about two baseballs close to me as a right-handed hitter, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to dive out of the plate, and I'm going to look for the changeup. I'm going to look for the breaking ball. I'm going to look for the backdoor cutter. Something that's away from me, obviously, with two strikes, you choke up, you do what you have to do to put the ball in play. But he's so good making adjustments when it comes to mechanics to figure out how to get the four-seam in and get the cutter to look like it's a four-seamer and have it dive in on the right-handed hitter's hands. You can't swing at that. If you do, it's going to be a long day for a lineup. So give him that. Dive out over the plate and try and get some hits. Obviously, it's easier said than done.
One of the things we noticed last year with Danny Jansen and Hyunjin Ryu, and Buck Martinez talked about this a great deal, there were times where Hyunjin Ryu shook off Danny Jansen a great deal.
Yep.
And as Buck pointed out, one of the things Hyunjin Ryu is he's a sequenced, he thinks and pitches sequentially. I haven't seen enough of him in spring training, so everything we hear is that relationship has developed and that they're comfortable with each other and there hasn't been as much shaking off, et cetera, et cetera. It's different though in spring training compared to the regular season, right? Because now you're trying to pitch a game plan, you've got you're facing batters. It's for real. What do you need to see? What do you need to see from Danny Jansen and Hyunjin Ryu for that relationship today?
Yeah, to my understanding, they have kept in touch off season by Zoom. You know, Ryu's obviously in Korea. Danny's in Florida. They have been having conversations on, you talk about tempo. You talk about he puts the right finger down. I'll go with that. You know, one guy trusts the other. It's not, now I can think for you a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're not always having to think for yourself. And the meetings to the mound, they almost have to be non-existent for me. Because what that does, if you're a hitter, that shows sometimes that there's doubt in what you want to throw me. And that pitcher's not comfortable in throwing that certain pitch. And if he doesn't have conviction, you know what that means? When you throw 90, that means you leave it on the plate. And if you leave it on the plate in this stadium to this lineup, bad things will happen. So you need better tempo. Putting the finger down, he gets the sign, he goes. Put the finger down, he gets the sign, he goes. And that lack of going to the mound. If they can do that and get in a nice little rhythm, he'll be all right. He, meaning Ryu, is the least of the Blue Jays' worries. Mm. The least of their worries.
We know that, according to Charlie Montoyo, TJ Zoik is going to start the third game of the series.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlie was asked, well, would you consider going with an opener if you need TJ Zoik to come out of the bullpen in the first two games? And he was vintage Charlie, right? Yeah, Charlie... Charlie has gone out of his way all spring to sort of let people know that the opener is it's like that thing in that box. You don't really want to open it right now, right? It's there, you know. Yeah. It's there, but Charlie's been very clear. I'd like to get some sort of five-man setup. I'd like to have my starters know that they're starting. And you know, you mentioned Ryu. To me, it's hugely important, given the state of this pitching, given that Robbie Ray's in the IL, given that we have no idea when Nate Pearson is going to be pitching, Hyunjin Ryu has to give him six today.
Yeah, at least six.
He's got to give him six to set that up. Because I want TJ Zoik and that sinker. I want to see him start, because you know what? He's been in the organization for years.
Yeah.
He's a guy you've developed. He's a guy you spent money on. He's a guy you drafted and signed, all that good stuff. I want to see him start.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things, too, I think, with Ryu today. Luke Voit hammers slow stuff. He gets after because he's an ambusher, right? We've seen
him. He's not in the lineup.
We saw, exactly right. We saw him in Buffalo step in the bucket and hit the heater out for a home run. We've seen him dive out over the plate and hit the breaking ball. He's a very good, I'm going to guess along with you, I'm looking for my certain zone, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to go against that. And occasionally he'll do that. He's very hard to pitch to, so he's not in the lineup. That'll be easier for Ryu. I just think it's location. He's going to tell you right out the gate, or almost right out the gate, if he's happy with that four-seam location. And the weather's going to help him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked the cutter in.
Nobody. Nobody does.
They don't even like that in the summertime. No. You think adding a little drizzle and a little 40-degree, they're going to like that? You're going to see some choking up. You're going to see Giancarlo Stanton. You're going to get that little gather going a little bit quicker. I don't like you in there. So you may see him stepping in the bucket, and you may see the changeup working a little better. You know, that may be something you look for early, too. They're thinking along with us. Because of the weather, I'm going to have to step in the bucket. I'm going to have to get it going a little bit better. What's Ryu thinking? Okay, if they're doing that and I see that in my first inning, now I'm going to start maybe throwing some 0-0 changeups, getting some easy, quick outs, get me longer in a game. I know my team needs me. You work off the situation. You work off the weather. You work off the aggressiveness to the lineup. This lineup is experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced guys like to have a plan, and they don't want to go against that plan. So if you see them with a plan one way, adjust to that. Ryu's one of the best at doing that, and I think Danny Jansen and him will have a good plan. They'll have a good tempo.
You know, one of the really interesting stories this year in spring training has been the odyssey of Joel Piamps, however you pronounce it.
Sure.
He was added to the roster today, and I know there are Blue Jays fans going, this is the guy that they let go. You know, the Red Sox liked him. The Jays brought him back again, and, you know, as we were sitting here putting together the roster, I think the first thing people thought of is, okay, there's something that somebody in this organization likes about this dude that they're bringing him back. I don't know how many people had him making the roster and being around, but you know why exactly he is on this roster for this particular series. And something to keep an eye on, something for listeners and those of you who are going to be watching the game to keep an eye on. He may see action in these three games. Like, I don't think it's an accident that he's here.
Hopefully not a lot of action. You know, it's 95 with a slider. Right-handed lineup, what do they not like? Fastball in, slider down and away, and they've never seen
it.
That element of a surprise. What's the heater looking? You may sneak him through five batters. If they're using him a ton,
well, that's not good.
Things went off the tracks.
But you might be able to surprise. You might be able to surprise somebody with them for an out, two outs, three outs.
If I told you Ross Stripling was the number two starter and pitching in Yankee Stadium, would you roll your eyes? They're piecing this thing together early on, and you're going to see things. Element of surprise. People that never seen a certain guy before, they're going to use him. Maybe not with first and second in the sixth inning, and coming in to get a key out. But you may see him come in, you know, bottom of the order, leading off an inning, that kind of thing.
Perhaps one of the ways this organization resembles the Tampa Bay Rays more than anything else is when you look at this bullpen and how they're going to use this bullpen. Arm angle stuff. Guys, funky delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They are piecing it together.
Well, Charlie Montoya
for this series.
He came from your team.
It's not my team.
Came from your team. He Charlie's going to have to be good. Petey's going to have to be great.
Bringing
in the right guy. Louis Rivera. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody ever mentions the third base coach when he's doing the rounding. 99.9% of the time, that guy's got to be safe. Look, we're looking at big picture here. You're talking about carry trophies. There's big expectations for you. Everybody's got to be working in the same direction. You got to be doing a good job.
It is opening day. First pitch is at 1:08 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan across the Sportsnet radio network. And hello to our listeners in Vancouver and Calgary.
Yeah.
Who are with us. Thank you for joining us. What are you most – we got 3 minutes left here. Less than 3 minutes, Parker. What are you most looking forward to seeing today? The thing that is just going to warm your heart
fans
as a baseball
stands.
Fan.
Fans and
Bingo.
Stands. That's we exactly, should be able to hear a little bit of it, too.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It is nice. I like hearing the booing. That'll be nice. You know, New York, you know, if the Yankees are losing, Garrett Cole gives up a homer, somebody's going to get booed.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Don't you miss that?
You know who?
For the first time ever, I miss getting booed.
I'll tell you what. The guy who probably, poor Gary Sanchez, probably said, why couldn't this thing just go on for another week or so?
Yeah.
Gary Sanchez got his ass booed in Grapefruit. Did you hear that game?
Yeah.
He was getting his ass booed at spring training.
I got booed. Yeah, Gibby. Old great Gibby put me in the last day of the season as a Blue Jay in right field. You know where he put me in right field at? Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God.
My last name's Barker. To say that I got worn out for, I think I was in the game for six innings, and then all of a sudden Gibby trying to win and, you know, puts in burning whales. Like, you know, at least leave me out here. You're going to leave me out here. I think it's because I chucked a ball 15 feet up the backstop with a guy trying to score. But so what? You know, I was giving my best effort kind of thing, but it was fun. You know, they have really good things to say that they, you know, they bust on you in great ways. Players miss that.
Yeah.
So that'll be something I'm looking forward to. And
it's going to be weird when they go to Texas and there's 40,000 people in the stands. I got to admit, it is going to seem very strange. We're just getting pictures right now from Yankee Stadium. I think the official figure is something like 10,800 fans. Oh, I'll tell you what, though, man, it just looks good. It looks good to see people sprinkled around the stands. And, you know, it's going to be a while before we can do that in Toronto. I think we all know that. But, you know, hey, we got baseball. It's opening day. The Jays are in first place. Plenty of time to worry about when the ballpark's going to be open, when the Jays are going to be home. Sit back and enjoy it. It is opening day. It's a great team, some new faces. And we'll get it going in a few minutes. It is Jays-Yankees from the Bronx opening day the way it should be. For Baseball Central, I'm Jeff Blair. We'll be back tomorrow. Stick around. Buck and Dan have a call the game.